longevity. Come on and step into the time flow with us. Come on, let's go, let's go.
Yes, and welcome aboard another edition of Saturday Morning Live on Radio Regent. My name is Norman Otis Richmond. I'm here with Adrian Worrell, and we have an action-packed show for you today. A lot of Gerald Horn, and we're going to get started right now with Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Bradley Manning, private Democrat. The mania that followed the release of military papers and consular communications by U.S. Army private and intelligence officer Bradley Manning hasn't been seen since the height of the anti-communist scares of the 1950s. Bradley Manning, recently convicted of a plethora of charges before a military judge, faces over a century in prison for, among other things, espionage. Manning is about as much a spy as Mickey Mouse. But he was so grossly overcharged that it was virtually inevitable that some judge somewhere, feeling the pressure of prosecutorial and political zeal, would convict him of charges that no serious observer could support. And although a military judge threw out a charge that would have meant a life sentence aiding the enemy, the remaining charges exposed Manning to, as I said, over a century in prison. Manning released classified videotapes showing U.S. troops shooting unarmed civilians and at least one journalist armed with a camera. Needless to say, none of these killers of innocents face 100-plus years in jail, nor are they ever likely to. Manning believed that in a democracy, the people should be able to see what their military and politicians do in their name. For that, he was thrown into solitary, naked, and taunted until international protests became too loud to ignore. Under international law, Manning was subjected to torture for daring to act on the belief that Americans had a right to know. Bradley Manning awaits formal sentence. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
The re-education of Lauryn Hill. Her name, her incredible contralto, her audacious talent, and her scrumptious beauty have made Lauryn Hill a legend in hip-hop and music generally. Her solo effort, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, earned her a Grammy in 1998 and a place in the hearts of millions. When she tired of the industry, she tried to build a life for herself and her family, but the business continued to beckon. Now, this enormous talent is behind prison bars, charged with tax evasion of some $2 million in income over several years. $2 million sounds like a lot of dough, but consider this. Of the many U.S.-based transnational corporations with assets of over $100 million, 37% paid nothing in U.S. federal taxes. That's right, not one red cent. That's according to Mark Zephyrzauer's Take the Rich Off Welfare. And that's because Congress has been slashing corporate taxes for years while raising taxes on people. Who needs money more, a mother of six children? Or the CEOs of corporations who sometimes make over 500 times their workers' pay. We have punished people while bowing to corporations whom the law has granted constitutional rights of personhood. That's crazy, but true. Meanwhile, schools are closing, cities are crumbling, bridges are toppling, and good jobs are fleeing. That's because, as Zephyrzauer has written, the rich are on welfare. The super rich pay nothing. And some have flown to the Caymans to hide their loot and escape taxes. Even if caught, there are no jail cells for them, although they deprive their country of trillions in tax revenue. Also, how can you jail a corporation, even one granted personhood under the ignoble Citizens United decision of the Supreme Court? They throw a few farthings into the public kettle, while Lauryn Hill, an international treasure, and mother of six, goes to prison. This, then, is the re-education of Lauryn Hill. And she thought the music industry was crappy. From Imprisoned Nation, This is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Another juror speaks. When juror B-29 of the Trayvon Martin trial took the mic, it forced me to reconsider my earlier position that an acquittal was inevitable. The juror, a young Puerto Rican woman named Maddie, told an ABC News reporter that she felt Trayvon's shooter, George Zimmerman, got away with murder. But under the law, the juror said, she had no choice but to acquit Zimmerman. To do so, she explained, she had to ignore her heart and her emotions. She apologized to Martin's mother, Sabrina Fulton, and said she too felt for the loss of the boy. It was truly a remarkable interview, giving insight into the thinking of at least one juror, the first to show her face. It also shows not only that the case wasn't as solid as first thought, but that jurors really take their instructions seriously. Apparently, jurors can also suffer from confusion. In fact, jurors are free to vote any way they want, no matter what the instructions are. This is known as jury nullification and a way to reflect community justice. But juror B-29 didn't know that because in many jurisdictions, they can't be told that. In any event, this provides slim rays of sunshine to Trayvon's mom and family. It may ease some minds that this young woman felt so passionately about the case, but it appears her resistance was beaten down by other jurors, and she agreed not because she actually believed it, but to create a false consensus. This woman owed nothing to her other jurors. The same couldn't be said of Trayvon Martin or his family. From Imprison Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
You're listening to Saturday Morning Live. This is Radio Regent. My name is Norman Richmond, and we have an action-packed show for you today. We're going to be going into the vaults and listening to an interview that we did with Saturday Morning Live, did with Gerald Horn on April the 7th, 2003. We're going to go back, take you back in into the vaults, and we're going to be speaking with Gerald Horn at 11:30. He's going to be talking about the elections in Zimbabwe, the elections in Mali, of course, the asylum that Mr. Snowden was given by Russia, and a lot of other issues. We're going to be speaking, or we have an interview with General Gordon Baker Jr., the first African American to refuse the draft, to be drafted to go to Vietnam. He's a retired auto worker of 40. He put 40 years in, and we have Amanla, and we have a lot of great music for you today. And we have a musical sweep that we're going to give you right now. Compliments of Virilia Liming in the diaspora. And this is some great soca music.
Islands in the sun. Abundantly.
Started talking, she said, "Look like I distinguish Shadi." Then she tell me, "Boy." Roll on, roll on.